History Makers with Matt Prater.
Coming off of drugs, you're going to have emotional problems, but I kept chasing after God.
And he's using this vehicle to bring people out of the dark into the light.
And I went forward and I knelt at the front, and it was a radical conversion experience.
And that's where the big change happened, and that's where we decided we're going to use our music for God, we're going to change our songs.
When I was about 25-year-old, I was busted and into jail, and it was there that I came to the Lord.
History Makers with Matt Prater.
Hi and welcome to History Makers. I'm Matt Prater. Today we're chatting with Clint Montgomery from Alpha Crucis University College, which is a wonderful ministry based in Australia. We're going to hear a bit of his story today. Welcome along, mate. Where were you born and raised?
Thanks, Matt. Great to be on the program with you. I was born in a little town in South Africa called Springs, close to Johannesburg.
Okay. About,
50 years ago now.
And did you have like a religious upbringing?
Yeah, I grew up in church most of my life, so attended church, but I never really came to faith before the age of 19. So had a religious upbringing, but had a very special encounter at 19.
Okay, well, tell us what happened at 19.
Well, it's an interesting story, Matt. Before that, I was, in my mind, destined to become a professional tennis player. And at that point, I played for the South African Correctional Services, and in my own experience, I thought things were going pretty well. Until my mum sort of put a spanner in the works at 19, where she suggested that I go for an opportunity to get a scholarship for chemical engineering, which was really funny because I didn't even have maths or science at school, which are probably more important subjects if you want to study chemical engineering.
Yeah.
But that was the first time in my life that I had a girlfriend and decided to go, went for a dinner and movie with my girlfriend, and then the next day went and wrote a year 12 exam on maths and science, and out of a group of about 85 kids, I was one of three that passed the exam. Please don't ever ask me how I did that. I'm convinced that God took control of the wheel. And I suddenly had to choose between tennis and chemical engineering, and obviously felt that there was something in this engineering thing. So I went, and 3 weeks into that experience, I stood with a beer in a pub at 2 a.m. in the morning, and I just realized that that's not who I am. Put the beer down, went home, found the first church, and that morning had a very unique God encounter where I got saved, and a week later was in full-time ministry, appointed as a youth pastor in the church. So a bit of a different pathway for me.
What was it like becoming a youth pastor so quickly? Did you stumble a bit, or did you just ease into it?
Oh, well, stumbling was probably the best way to describe it. I mean, what do you know? I was still learning how to read a Bible. never thought about leading people. But it was a time, 1994, God was doing some great things around the world. And I remember an earnest prayer where I just said, God, if you're doing those things around the world in Canada and the U.S. and all of that, I'm too stupid to fabricate anything. I don't even have a knowledge base. So please come and visit us and do things in our little community. And it was an incredible time where we saw kids come to faith. Kids and young adults, we were in the hundreds and 200s of kids, young adults that came to faith within 6 months. It was an incredible experience, not built on any knowledge base, but basically just dependence on God. Please help. I'm clueless.
Wow.
So a very special time.
So you were launched into ministry. What were you doing for work at the time? Were you paid in ministry, or did you have to be a tent maker?
Well, at that point, I was lucky enough that a friend of mine invited me to come stay with them, and his dad took care of us. So I did a few jobs, but basically spent most of the time running the ministry.
Fantastic, mate.
Yeah.
And tell us what happened next after that time as a youth minister.
I decided to go and study theology, obviously to get a better understanding of the world that I was entering into, and then served as youth pastor in a couple of churches until one point where I was appointed in a church in South Africa called Doxadeo, which had a strong vision to impact the cities that they were involved in, and probably joined them around 2000, 2001. And by the time we left in 2012, the church grew from 3,000 to 35,000 people. And one thing that I keep saying is I saw church work in a way that literally blew my mind and changed my whole thinking about church. That if anyone asks me, do I believe in church? My answer is yes, because I've seen the impact that it can have on a city, a nation, and the world.
I was just having a conversation the other day with a friend of ours who used to be a pastor, and then he ran for politics, and he didn't get in. And he said to me, Matt, keep doing what you're doing. He said, I have seen so much evil in the world. And he said, the world needs more churches. The world needs the church to really be salt and light in our community. So he said, keep doing what you're doing, mate. And I thought, that's an interesting perspective. Hey, Clint.
Yeah, I think we obviously believe that all people are called to ministry, whether you're a teacher, a lawyer, a business person. But we can never underestimate the value of a life-giving church embedded in a community, Matt. It's something that literally brings a kingdom framework into that community and breathes life. And that's what we saw, that in the context of a city, we had 18 campuses at that point, 7 schools, a skills development center, university, everything that started actually from an old broken church that had no hope. And ultimately affected not just the Christian world, but the non-Christian world in a very significant way.
So it was called Doxa Deo. What does that mean?
Basically means the glory of God. So doxa is the Greek word for glory, and deo the Latin word for God.
Wonderful. Yeah, I knew that. I was just making sure you knew. So that's fantastic. Yeah, yeah. So, mate, tell us a bit more about your journey after 2012. What did you do next?
I was called to a church in South Australia, and very interesting. Left a church of, like I said, 35,000, joined a church around about 20, 30 people. Very interesting experience, but had a significant imprint on my spirit that God called me to Australia. And I think the beauty of the journey in South Australia was the fact that it wasn't just me teaching people in the church, but the church community really took ownership of our family and taught us the Aussie way. To this point now, I see myself more Australian than I see myself South African. My accent probably doesn't help, but I think that church helped us understand just what it means to be an Australian trying to affect kingdom change within that space. So we spend a bit of time in churches helping to rebuild what we would call ancient ruins, older churches that went through a significant challenge during their lives, and helped about 3-4 churches in 12 years in that space, and then joined Alpha Cruces University College, and that's where I'm at present.
Now, I love Alpha Cruces. I've got a number of friends who are graduates and a number of friends who are lecturers. I've interviewed a bunch of the guys from there. For those who don't know about Alpha Cruces, tell us the story.
Well, basically started in 1948 as the Assemblies of God's Bible School. And grew rather quickly, especially within church planting and missional engagement. So it's the Pentecostal Bible School for the Assemblies of God. But probably in 1996, a very significant moment was triggered by Pastor David Cartledge, where he came under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and felt that God was challenging Alpha Cruces to move from training ministers for churches to training ministers for the marketplace. And a big part of that call was to move from a Bible college to a university. So in 1996, we sort of embraced the call in the Assemblies of God, now called the Australian Christian Churches, to become a Christian Pentecostal university within the context of Australia. I think everyone was excited, but no one understood how big that mountain actually was. And now, close to 30 years later, we're on the cusp of achieving that goal, Matt. Now, a lot of people would ask why that is so important, and if it's okay with you, I'll quickly mention 3 points.
Sure.
In terms of that, I think the first one is understanding that universities shape societies more than anything else. And if we don't have a seat at the table at the university space, and at the moment in the Australian context, we have very, very little presence within the higher education space in Australia. Basically, our understanding is that we would be the first real evangelical university within Australia.
Wow.
Now, the reason why this is important and why universities shape society is because we now see that when policies are formed, research are used to prove these policies. And that's a critical understanding. One of the examples that we have for that is the Safe Schools program that was introduced in every public primary school in Australia was basically a piece of research through two researchers at La Trobe. And we believe that obviously it was termed an anti-bullying program, but it was used as a method to introduce the gender ideology into every public primary school in Australia.
Mm.
Now, this is dangerous because if there's a mechanism to use research to facilitate what I want to call woke ideology, and we don't have that mechanism to support, I think, more conservative Christian ideologies, then we have literally left that space in society vacant for the enemy to use.
Mm.
And it's critical for us to work within that framework to understand that we need a Christian university that has a real seat at the table to empower, I think, conservative Christian politicians. We have a massive growth spurt in Christian schools across Australia. So we've got Christian preschool, Christian primary school, Christian secondary school, but we don't have real options for them to go after secondary school. And the stats show us an alarming drop-off of kids losing their faith in these ideology factories called universities. So hence, it's incredibly important to have an option for these kids. Christian schools are outpacing and outgrowing public schools by close to 40% at the moment. And we need an option for them once they finish high school to study within a conservative Christian environment moving forward. Hopefully that makes sense,
mate. Yeah, that's brilliant, mate. And, you know, the truth is that there's a lot of people that go on to campuses to do Alpha Cruises, but you have these online options as well, don't you?
Yeah, so we're fully hybrid, meaning that we can offer a study solution within a variety of faculties that suits your needs, from online experiences to class experiences in every major state in Australia. So I think it's just a beautiful option. God has helped us to, I think, provide.
Yeah, that's brilliant, mate. Well, I'm so blessed to be able to hear about the ministry of Alpha Cruises. And, mate, just before we go, there might be people listening that heard you share your testimony.
Yep.
They heard you share about how you came to know Christ at the age of 19. And maybe they've never heard the gospel. They don't know how to respond. Would you share with us what is the gospel and how do people respond?
The gospel is the good news of how Jesus became a ransom to save the sin and the brokenness of humanity. And I use the word humanity. In the Bible, it uses the word world. So that every person who comes to that understanding that they can't do this life on their own anymore has the option to put their faith and their trust in Jesus and to say, Lord, help me. I can't do this anymore. And the good news is the Bible says that in that moment, Jesus doesn't come with condemnation or guilt or shame. He actually engages with compassion, inviting you into a new kingdom life, recreating you into a whole new quality of human being that you can now live from the premise of being a new creation in Christ. That's good news. It doesn't just affect this life, it affects the life to come. And that's the beauty. One choice that saves you in this moment, but also for eternity to come.
Mate, that's such good news. And, you know, if people want to respond, maybe you'd like to give your heart to the Lord or get a Bible or some information about following Jesus, you can contact us through the History Makers email address, info@historymakersradio.com. That's info@historymakersradio.com. Send us an email if you'd like more info. And, Clint, if people want to find out about Alpha Crucis, what's the website?
So the website is really, really easy. It is ac.edu.au. I want to repeat that, ac.edu.au, and we have everything available on the website for you to have a look at.
Good on you, Clint. I reckon you're a history maker, mate. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Matt. Appreciate it, and great with all the good work that you guys are doing.
If you'd like to hear this conversation again, listen online anytime at historymakersradio.com. There you'll also find links to all of our social media channels, and you can subscribe to our iTunes podcast. History Makers is a faith-based ministry, and we want to thank everyone for their generous support. If you've got a suggestion of anyone we should interview, send us an email, info@historymakersradio.com. God bless. I'm Matt Prater, and my challenge to you now is to go and make history.